gmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Oh, good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program, where once again, we are going to be talking about the glorious aspect of being forgiven as well as forgiving. Thanks for tuning in to WMIE 91.5 FM. My name is Bob Arthurs. We're going to spend the next half hour together today looking at the Word of God. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 4, and we are literally just days away from January being in the rearview mirror already. That just doesn't seem right. I don't know. Some months feel like they fly by. Some months feel like they drag on. The first part of this month felt like it went on for a long, long time, but the second part seems to be cruising along pretty good. We're going to just continue on our study of the Bible, no matter how the time frame of it seems like in our mind. So thanks for tuning in. If you missed this broadcast at 8:30 of the morning, you can catch it at WWBC 1510 AM at 10:30 of the morning. If you miss that one, you can catch it at 5 p.m. back here on WMIE 91.5 FM. If you miss that one, you can catch it on demand at WMIEFM.com. Just type that in at the bottom of the page. You can type in listen on demand, type in the date, and it will take you to the selection of programs that are archived on that particular day and time, and you can listen to it there. You know how I know that? Because I do it. And just encourage you to find whatever time that is offered that works best for you. And we do want to say thank you for making that part of your day. We've got just a few more truths that we're going to share here on forgiveness before we move on. Today we are going to be in Ephesians chapter 4. We were in Ephesians chapter 1 the other day, yesterday. And today we are going to be in Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to begin reading at verse number 25. We're going to talk about what does forgiveness look like? What does it mean? How does it manifest itself? That's the theme that we are going to be talking about today. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 25. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So we're going to look at verse number 32 first, and then we're going to move backwards to verse number 25. It says, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. And so we see here what we talked about on yesterday's program, that the ability to forgive is found in our relationship with Christ. It is Christ living inside of us. It is the reality that we are living in Christ. It is that dynamic, that reality, that enables us to be forgiven, but to be forgiving towards one another. Okay, so I think we've touched on that. We've hit that in a couple of different ways. And so I want to move today into more of what does that manifestation of forgiving one another look like? How do we operate towards one another? In fact, let me just put it to you this way. Forgiveness changes our actions, and it also changes our heart towards one another. Forgiveness changes our actions, and it changes our heart towards one another. One of the things that leads to broken relationships, severed relationships, the Bible identifies as hardness of heart. But forgiveness restores a tender heart towards one another. I don't know if you've ever had a person that, they were just tender-hearted. My district superintendent, his name is Terry Rayburn, and mercy is one of his primary giftings. Mercy is one of my primary giftings, but I've realized that it doesn't mean that it's the only gifting, that sometimes there needs to be some exhortation in there. But Pastor Terry, he calls himself, he references himself as tender-hearted Terry. And that doesn't just apply to pastors, that applies to churches. It applies to people in the churches. He has a heart for people. And so forgiveness causes us to be tender-hearted towards one another so that our relationship stays in a healthy dynamic, not in a damaged dynamic. And so I encourage you, stay tender-hearted toward one another. Psalm 133 says that when brethren dwell together in unity, and I'm going to move right down to the end, that there is a commanded blessing that takes place, even life forevermore. I absolutely love that. So, you know, I pray that husbands are still tender-hearted towards their wives. Wives are tender-hearted towards their husbands. Parents are tender-hearted towards their kids. That pastors are still tender-hearted towards their churches, and their churches tender-hearted to the lost. We've got to maintain a heart that, like Jesus, we can be moved with compassion towards those in great need. Let's look at some of the other ways that this manifests. In verse number 25, it says, "Put away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor." Okay? So if we're going to be forgiving people, if we're going to be dealing in reality, we're not going to be a false witness against somebody. We're not going to be bearing false witness, and we're certainly not going to be operating as a forgiven by God individual. We are not going to be operating with the currency of hell, which is deceit. We're not supposed to be lying to one another. We are supposed to be speaking the truth in love. And so I was communicating with someone recently, and we were talking about a situation where people will ask probing questions that they don't need, that it really, that question is none of their business. And I was telling them, it's like, you know, that's a very, very difficult position. Now here's to be in, you know, where somebody's asking you a question and they don't really, they're not entitled to the answer. And finally, here's where I'm at. Just because you ask a question doesn't mean you're entitled to the answer. And so several years ago, I was in a position where I was having to fill out a questionnaire, and they were asking me all sorts of questions that were none of their business. And I've got no problem saying to someone, you know what? That's none of your concern. I would rather do that than I would lie to them. And I think that because we are forgiven, that we are going to operate with the currency of heaven, which is truth and love, rather than operating in deceit. Let's be people who are known, not just for telling the truth, but for telling the truth in love. Okay? So that's one of the ways that forgiveness manifests. The second, okay, I'm going to read this. I'm going to read this verse to you, and I'm just going to give you a second to ponder before I ask a question. It says, "Be angry and do not sin." Be angry and do not sin. And the question I have is this: when you hear that verse, what is the part that we tend to think about the most? The part of that sentence that we give the most emphasis to. And I believe it is the part that says, okay, I have the right to be angry. We focus on that and we miss the second part, and that is, don't sin. You know, even if you do find that time of righteous indignation, and let me define that to you. That is an anger that arises because the righteousness of God has been violated. I think that it is very rare where we experience righteous indignation, where we are there in defense of God. You know what I think happens a lot of time? That we're offended. We're offended personally. We're offended emotionally. We're offended intellectually. We're offended relationally. There's a lot of layers of offense there. And then we retaliate out of that same area of our life that has been offended. Where if we are experiencing righteous indignation, the purpose of Jesus cleansing the temple when he experienced righteous indignation was not just the driving people out of the temple. It was restoring the temple to the intent that God had for it, that people would not be taken advantage of as they were coming to worship God. You know, what was happening is there were buyers and sellers of offerings that if it was too far away, they would sell their offering where it was at. And then when they got to Jerusalem, they would buy the offering. Well, they would charge them more once they got there than they were being paid on the other end. They were being taken advantage of. And God said, stop taking advantage of the people that I'm dying for. That's not what worship was all about. It was not meant to be a place where people are victimized over and over again. He says, be angry, do not sin. And so I think when we're forgiven, we're going to have a much more compelling interest in the do not sin portion than the right to be angry portion. Okay? Jonah, do you have a right to be angry over this gourd that you didn't have any part in planting and you didn't have any part in it living and you didn't have any part in it dying? Yes, I do have a right. Well, no, not really. You know, you're more concerned about that gourd than you are the people of Nineveh. And the thing about Nineveh is even the cows were clothed in sackcloth and ashes. I mean, there was some serious repentance going on in Nineveh, and Jonah was unmoved by that, but he was angry because the gourd died, and God was much more concerned about the people of Nineveh than he was the gourd. So, what else does it say? Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't let the sun go down on... That means that we are supposed to resolve our issues very quickly. I don't know if you've ever had a physical issue that that you experienced and you just kind of ignored it and you hoped it would go away. I could take you to a time in my past. I was one of those stubborn husbands. I know that I'm probably the only one that's ever had that happen, but I came down with something, and it was in the month of May in this particular year. Goes back a long time ago. And my wife in the medical field, and she was trying to get me to go to the doctor, and I didn't go to the doctor, and it went on for 1 week, and she tried to get me to go to the doctor, and it went on to a second week. And on the third week, I actually missed church because I was so sick. And there was a nurse in our church, and she got me an appointment to see the doctor. And come to find out, I had two different things going on, and I wasn't getting better by ignoring the problem. It was getting worse. And I will tell you this, you and I, we've got to deal with our relational issues. We've got to deal with our anger issues. We got to deal with the people involved in that. And we're not supposed to let that linger. We're supposed to deal with it quickly. And if you can't get to that person to resolve that issue to where you're able to work out all of the details, then take care of your part in the equation and say, you know what, God, I forgive them. I tap into the riches of your grace, and I forgive them. If I've done something against them, I want to tap into the forgiveness that's available to me. And as soon as I am able to make contact with them, I'm going to ask them to forgive me. If they've offended me, as soon as I can get to them, I'm going to let them know, hey, I love you. I appreciate you. I am so glad God brought you into my life. Resolve those issues quickly. Don't let them fester. Don't let them fester. How else does having a forgiveness mindset, it manifests in this? Don't give place to the devil. Okay? Don't give place to the devil. Don't make room for him. Don't make an inch of room for him. Don't allow him into your ear gate. Don't allow him to come into your vision gate. Do not allow him to prioritize your schedule for you. Do not allow him to manipulate your emotions. Forgiving people are not looking to honor the entity that has ensnared them and trapped them in bondage, that Jesus came and broke those chains and delivered us out. What we're doing is we honor our liberator, not our captor. Amen. I'll amen myself there. Don't give place to the devil. When Nehemiah cleansed the temple and restored everything, there was a guy that ended up finding his way into the temple, and he wasn't supposed to be there. And so when he came back again, he said, what are you doing living in the treasure in the storehouse there? And he showed him the door. He said, you aren't supposed to be there. And he made sure that he was gone. You know what? The Holy Spirit is wonderful at being a doorkeeper for our life if we will allow him to do his job. Yes, you can come in. No, you can't. There's a story that was told about Smith Wigglesworth, and a person knocked on his door, and the person thought that he would be nice and he was going to bring him a newspaper. And Smith Wigglesworth opened the door, and he saw him, and he said this: "You can come in. The newspaper's got to stay outside." You know, I don't know if I'm the only one, but there are times when I have to cut off the news. I have to cut off the news broadcast. Not because I'm wanting to bury my head in the sand, but because I'm wanting my head, Jesus Christ, I'm wanting him to speak into my life with great authority. And you know what? Whenever I leave the presence of Jesus, I'm going to feel better. Sometimes when I watch the news, I Let's put it this way. I don't feel nearly as good leaving a news broadcast as I do leaving my prayer closet. So, verse number 28, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give who has need. So forgiveness is going to manifest in a change in our dynamic where no longer are we stealing, no longer are we taking from other people, but we are now adopting the mindset that we're going to do whatever is necessary to be a blessing to the body of Christ. In the Old Testament, no one, I'll say that again, no one was supposed to appear empty-handed. Everybody was supposed to honor God. There was an offering that was prescribed, and it was the same offering if you were rich. It was the same offering if you were poor. This wasn't the tithe. The tithe varies. It's tithe means the first 10% of your increase. And so if you were rich, the first 10% went. If you were not so rich, the first 10% went. But if you were faithful in that which was little, there would be more that would be added to you. There are too many people who are robbing God. They rob God of their time. They rob God of their best. They rob God of their finances. They rob God of their giftings. And we need people who are going to step up and say, you know what, because I'm forgiven, I want to utilize what God has placed in my hand so that I can be a blessing to others around me. Verse number 29 says, not only are we supposed to speak the truth in love, but verse number 29 says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Okay? And so let me just ask you to analyze this. How many of the words that we speak are utilized to impart grace to those who are listening? What happens? What did we talk about yesterday? The riches of his grace causes us to be able to forgive even in very difficult circumstances. I'll be honest with you. I hear stories of people who have forgiven things and it's like, man, the only way that you could do that is because of the riches of God's grace. So there are a lot of people who want to talk about the words that can come out of their mouth. There are a lot of people who are comfortable with profane things coming out of their mouth. There are a lot of people who, you know, I don't know if I would be comfortable in some of those conversations. If Jesus wouldn't be comfortable in the conversation, should I really be comfortable in the conversation? And so as a forgiving person, I need to realize that if I'm in conversation with somebody, I'm supposed to be bringing the grace of God. They ought to leave that conversation and say, man, I am so glad that I had that talk with them. Okay. Because we're forgiving, we're not going to grieve the Holy Spirit. We realize that the Holy Spirit brought us to that place of forgiveness, and we certainly don't want to do anything that is going to stop or hinder or limit the ministry of the Holy Spirit. At Merit Assembly of God, we are striving to make to be more hospitable to the Holy Spirit, because our society, our contemporary civilization, it needs more of the Holy Spirit, not less. Amen. I'll amen myself again. So verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger, clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. So what does a forgiving person look like? First of all, they're not bitter. They're not bitter. I encountered someone years and years and years ago. I would have been in my 30s when I met them, and they were a bitter, bitter old person. And I said to God, God, I don't want to be an angry, bitter old man. And you know what God's response was? Then don't be an angry, bitter young man. And I will tell you this, if you don't want to be bitter 5 years from now, then stop being bitter today. Hard things happen. Terrible things happen. Listen, just because I proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ does not mean that I am exempt from bad, painful things happening in my life. I intentionally choose the grace of God so that it doesn't penetrate into my spirit and a root of bitterness grows up that would disqualify me from ministering. Bitterness eliminates godly ministry. I don't have time to talk about it here any more than that on today's program. But one last thing. Put away evil speaking, be put away from you with all malice. What really takes place when we forgive those around us is instead of having a malicious or ill-intended heart towards someone, we are looking out for their best interest. We're looking out for God's best interest. We're not going to be treating people badly because it makes us feel good. We're not going to be treating people badly because they treated us badly. How easy is it to adopt that mindset? In this day and time where everybody seems to be offended about something, how easy would it be to say, well, you know what? That's what you did to me, and this is what I'm going to do to you. But when you have experienced the riches of God's grace and you realize that He has forgiven you and you realize that hurting people a lot of times hurt other people, then we've got to make sure that we get the malice out of our heart. One of the sayings that I have is this: if I'm dealing especially with a sensitive situation, I want to go into my prayer closet and make sure that God gets the spirit of Bob out of the way so that the spirit of God can deal with the situation the right way. The spirit of Bob will mess things up. The spirit of God will make things right. God bless you today. Be forgiving towards one another in Jesus' name. See you tomorrow.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Not skilled to understand what God has willed, what God has planned. I only know at His right hand stands one who is my Savior. I take Him at His word. Christ died to save me, this I read. And in my heart I find the need of Him to be my Savior. That He